Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I pray you've had a great week. My wife and had been gone for a little over a week to Ohio. I had a wonderful week getting to go pick her up. You know, you don't realize how much there is to do in the house until she's gone. And I know that that's probably, I'm talking about her before she gets out here. But anyway, we had a good time in Ohio and a lot of different things that we were, people we were get to see, things on this trip. We always got stuff to talk about. And I don't know, when I'm gone on a trip, I'm always watching people. Does anybody like to watch people? I just kind of watch people. And it's not that I'm just watching them just to see what their facial features are, what clothes. It's how they act, what they say, what they do. Now, if you're not careful, what you do is you always make the comparison to what you think is normal. And everything they're doing is weird. And I don't know, being from, I call Missouri, the southern part of Missouri, still the South. And so we talk a little different than people do in Ohio. And it takes a little while to get the curve of understanding down for us to hear what they're saying. They just say things like, where did that come from? And some of the things that they were talking about that there was a bug out on the porch. And Michelle's mom, which I've never heard her say when she's in Missouri, but we were in Ohio. We were in a different country. And she said, well, different state, sorry. Just seemed like it. So we're up there and she says, that bug just won't light. It won't light? What do you mean it won't light? And she just kept saying it. And finally, Kenan was there. And I'd already warned him. He says y'all too much for the people up there. And it's just a different type of... And so I'm listening to everybody talk. It won't light. And she said about the third or fourth time, and he said, okay, what do you mean? It won't light. Well, it won't light. She didn't know any other word. And he said, you mean land? It won't land? No, it won't light. Well, light and land are the same word. And if somebody would help me, I still can't figure it out myself. I'm just enjoying the conversation because it's different. And she just, and everybody that was from Ohio was very understanding exactly what she meant. And all of us that were not from up there, like, we don't got a clue. And so I'm hearing the talk and I'm thinking, it's different. It's different. And the more I thought about that, it just really related to what I want to talk about today. I think that the view that we have of religion in our world is very misconstrued. And I think sometimes the Baptists think that the Assemblies of God have it all messed up. And the Assemblies of God think that the Baptists have it all messed up. And those Presbyterian, whew, and the Lutheran, I just don't know how they, a Lutheran would come in and go, where's the bulletin? I don't know what to do in service. See, I'm just saying, you go from one religion, you go to one service to another, and you're like, I don't get this. I don't get this. Well, what I want to hear today, and what I want to kind of just talk about today is, we have a view of religion all messed up. Because the word religion in and of itself encompasses a way bigger terminology than just the evangelical faith. Now, I'm not getting into a big teaching on this. If you want to learn more about it, go to Leaders Academy. But evangelical churches are churches that believe in a born-again experience. Now, we get caught up on what happens after the born-again experience, how the church service should run, what music you should play. I mean, if you're not singing out of the old hymns and everybody has one, you're in sin and you're going to hell. People believe that. People believe that if you don't wear certain clothes in church, you're in church. I mean, I loved what Adam said today. It's exactly right. See, we now have the opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord because of what Jesus did, not because of what you wear. But there are a lot of people who get caught up on it. And I'm sitting here going, what is the deal here? Well, here's what the deal is. Religion is man's approach to God. That's what really, and the world's full of all of these. Now, I'm not talking to the Baptist. I'm not talking to the Assemblies of God. I'm not talking to a bunch of religions today. What I'm talking to is a bunch of born-again believers, and we've got to get a hold of an understanding of what the Bible has to say. See, Christianity doesn't fall into the category of the world's definition of religion. Religion is man's approach to God. Luke 19:10, Jesus came to save, to seek, to find those that are lost. Jesus came to seek and save. Jesus came to find. God sent for us. Come on, church. God sent for you. Christianity is not another religion. And when we get caught up on what you're going to wear, what you're going to sing, and all you do is look at everybody else and how wrong they are, then we're missing the approach to God. See, God's approach to man is what sets us apart, not how we're approaching God. It's God's approach to man that sets Christianity apart from every other religion. I want to talk about today, what does it mean to be a Christian? What is true Christianity? Now, some of y'all are going to hear this today and go, well, duh. Well, good, maybe you got it figured out and everybody needs to just model their life after you. But what I want to say today is, true Christianity is pretty deep because all of us deal with falling short. All of us deal with falling short and in need of a Savior. Today, Baptism Sunday, what are we doing today? Baptism. Baptism. That's what does that mean? We're going down to the river today. If you don't understand Christianity, you will not see the significance of baptism. And so today I want to talk about Christianity and what true Christianity is so that we understand why we're getting baptized. How many in here have said, I've been baptized? All right, good. So today ought to be a lot of amening. Today ought to be a yes, that's good. So there ought to be, this ought to be the most affirming sermon that you've ever heard, as many people that just raised their hand and said, I'm a Christian. I was baptized. I know what it means to be a Christian. And so today, affirm. If you're real quiet, I'm going to go, whoa, wait a minute here. Do you remember all them hands that were raised at the beginning? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad the air's on. Praise God. Some of y'all were here Wednesday night and would have wished for the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. By the way, some of you might wonder what happened with our air. And I'm going to tell you, we had three of the best people that I know, a couple of them in our church, to come down here and try to figure out this air. And we have no idea. It just started working. People, what happened? I don't have a clue. I believe that God can just miraculously take care of something. We really don't know. Steve came down and he said, all the electricity's working, everything's good, but it's not blowing cold. I don't know what to tell you. The next day, we just shut her off, turned it back on. Everybody's got a different theory and idea. What I'm here to tell you is that's all great, but the hand of God showed. Just on an air conditioning system. You know what? He can do it just on that. He can just do that in your life, whatever you're dealing with. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. I'm going to read the first four words of this. Christ's love controls us. Christ's love controls us. I'm going to stop there for just a moment before I even read on. You guys are still reading. Hold on. Christ's love controls us. Have you ever had a member of the opposite sex say, I love you to you the first time? Do you remember that control that they just... I mean, maybe you didn't do that, but inside, I mean, you've heard of people talk about little butterflies. Ooh, I mean, your whole innards are just... What is going on here? That love is just controlling you. I mean, it's all you can... I can't even go to sleep. You hang up first. I know we got to go. Oh, but I love you. Are you still there? Yeah. I love you. You hang up first. I mean, it just goes on. Come on, y'all acting like you've never done that. I know better. Parents, come on, videotape. Show them. They've done some people have done that for, maybe not the hang up part, but the I love and the butterflies and all of that. It just, there's a controlling factor. Have you ever felt that way about Jesus? I'm not talking about the infatuation. I'm talking about a love that you recognize that he has for you that's so strong that it just gives you butterflies. And the next thing you know, you're just like, oh, God, I love your presence. I love to be. Have you had that? If you haven't, you need to experience it. Because God loves you. God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to help you. He wants to correct you. He wants to move you to a new place with him. He wants that. Let's read that again, 2 Corinthians 5:14. Christ's love controls us. My question for you today is, does it? Christ's love controls us. Let's go on. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Come on, is this your story? How differently we know him now? Or do you know him the same way you did the day you got saved? Or do you know him the same way you did before you even got saved? Nothing much changed. I just got my ticket to heaven. Or how differently we know him now. Verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Praise God. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. If you're ever wondering where you're at in your life, if you're wondering, am I thinking right? Just go right here and spend some time. Are you operating based on what Christ did for you? Are you an ambassador for the things of God? Can people look at your life and go, that right there is a Christian, and I'm going to follow everything they do. I'm going to watch the way they parent. I'm going to watch what they do. I'm going to watch the way their marriage is. I'm going to watch how they spend my, I'm going to watch what they're doing. And what I'm telling you is, that reminds me of Jesus. Boy, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, they started being called Christians in the New Testament because people saw Christ, his actions, his talk, his move, his motivation in people. In fact, the little Christ was the word. Christianity has all come about, and the word Christianity has come from people seeing Jesus in others. Are you a Christian? I don't know. I'm not the one who has to determine that. There'll be a day of judgment and you'll find out. But what I'm telling you is, it's not too hard for you to look at your own life. Be careful today in this sermon to look at everybody else and think, boy, they needed to hear that. They needed to hear that. This is for all of us to say, what do I do with this? When you're around a person for very long, you start talking and acting like them. On the way home, there was bugs. And I actually thought in my mind, well, I wonder if that's going to light. Really? Yeah, I'm now educated to the way people from the north talk. And I'm working on it. See, I've been around them, and you'll find yourself after hanging around somebody. If you'll hang around somebody for a while, you'll find that you start talking like them. You'll find you start acting like them. That's why I say all the time to young people, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You just show them to me. I can tell you. Whoever your friends are is where you're headed. That's the way you'll be acting. That's the way you'll be talking. That's the way you'll be acting. Just show me who your friends are and I can tell you what you're going to be like. Just like that, I can tell you. When you're around a person, you start talking and acting like him. When you're around Christ, you start acting like, you start walking like, and you start talking like him. Are you around Christ, or is this just a Sunday morning activity? See, there's a change that happens when you get encountering of the Savior. It's like all of a sudden you recognize who I was, where I was, what I did, is no longer who I was. It's no longer where I spend my time. It's not what I do anymore. Come on, how many can say they look back at themselves before they were a Christian and go, I don't even really remember that old guy? Or is it the same part? Do you talk, act like, hang out with? It's everything's exactly the same. There's a change that takes place and you give up who you were. There's a passing away. There's a dying of what you were going to do and no longer, I don't do that anymore. You die to what you thought you would be. Let me just say, Michelle and I never, ever, ever aspired to be in the ministry like we are now. There was never an aspiration for that. But you know, when we died to our own aspirations, God said, I've got a new, different life that I want you to live, that I want you to lead, that I want you to walk in. See, I had other plans. Some of you had other plans for Sunday than being in church. But come on, that old man's dead and your plans change. That's what happens. Christianity is a dying to self. So many kids, when they get their license, they don't have to be at church anymore and they get their own agenda. Or maybe they still have to go to church to keep their license. Maybe mom and dad say, you're going to be in church, you're not having your life. Whatever the case, the problem is so many kids after they leave the house are dropping out of church they're gone. I'm out of church. I don't want anything to do with it. What happened? If young people don't die to an old way of thinking and an old life, I'm telling you, new life isn't something they're going to walk in. There has to be a dying of the way we used to do it. And there's got to be a dying of that, and I'm going to be a different person. A new man. The old man no longer makes decisions. Come on, the old man don't no longer. He don't make decisions for me no more. There's a new man. The person I am now will be at church. And I know I preach to the choir, y'all here today. Come on, amen this. The person that I was would not have been in church. The person I am now won't miss church. Why wouldn't I miss church? Because I'm a Christian and that's what I do. The old man's not making decisions. I choose to not leave certain options open in my life anymore. The question never comes up in our house. What do you think? We ought to go to church today? That's not so. Well, of course, you're the preacher. That hasn't came up for years. Way before I was preaching. See, there's not an option. There's got to be a dying of options. But when you start opening up options that the world has, that God's already spoke to you about, you start going, oh, where am I at? Did you die to that old thinking or not? I just choose certain areas not to leave as an option. I don't have an option about being in church. I don't have an option about where I hang out. I don't have an option about holding a grudge anymore. Boy, I'd sure like to. But I got to fight that and say, well, that's not an option anymore, and I got to die that. That one's got to be shoved under again. That one's trying to raise its head. It's trying to dig its way out of that grave. Nope, get back down here. You're done. That's not an option. That is dead in my life. I don't have an option about whether or not I'm going to badmouth somebody. Boy, I'd sure like. Well, nope, get away. That's not going to happen. Being a Christian outwardly is measured by whether or not you have really died to who you were on the inside. What is Christianity? I hope I'm explaining it a little bit today. James says we are tempted by our own evil desires. And do you know that the devil knows what yours is? I've told this story, and if you've been in this church any length of time at all, you've probably heard me say it. I had a friend who's now gone to be with the Lord, but I had a friend, he and I grew up together, and I can't tell you the amount of times he'd tell me he'd be walking down the street and he'd see a marijuana cigarette. And he said, just saying, pick me up. He and I were talking one day. He goes, how do you fight that? Do you ever do that? I said, I've never, ever walked down the street and saw a marijuana cigarette ever in my whole life. Just laying there. I mean, it happens to me all the time. And we were just talking about this, and I had read this scripture, and it just came alive to me. You're tempted by your own evil. You know what his evil desire was? It was marijuana. He dealt with it. It hurt him. That marijuana cigarette, that was tough. Do you know I've never had someone just offer me a drink since I've been pastoring a church? Nobody, hey, you want a beer? I haven't had it happen. I go to a restaurant. Now, waitresses will come up and say, and then, but if you say, hey, can we pray for you about something? They don't say no more about it. Now, I don't know why. They just don't. I just, what? Really, if there's nothing wrong, why not just go ahead and offer that? Here's what happens. You're going to be tempted by what the devil knows is your temptation to fall away from the things of God. And so that, I've just, marijuana cigarettes never come in my path. And if it did, I wouldn't even have noticed it because I'm not looking for it. But the devil knows what mine is. The devil knows what yours is. And he'll throw, I mean, you wouldn't believe the amount of desserts that were in Ohio this week. We're not even going to go there, but I'm just saying, you got to know that you'll be tempted by whatever it is that's going to pull you away from the things of, are you hearing me? See, if true Christianity is really there, you're going to have to know what you have to die to. You got to know what you got to bury all the time. The problems in our homes and in our churches, if we have a lot of people, we just have a whole bunch of people in our homes, we have a whole lot of people in our churches who are still alive that need to die. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? There's got to be some death take place. We're missing what Christianity is about when we don't understand death, burial, and resurrection. How are you acting in front of your waiter or waitress? Are you acting like someone who died to the old, or are you acting like the world? See, how are you acting in front of your spouse when they say something that was a little frustrating? Did you die to that man or not? Come on, that man has to be buried, has to be gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away, they're dead, and all things become what? New. Galatians 2:20. We've talked about it, I've been crucified with Christ. I don't live any longer. It's no longer me. It's Christ living in me. The guy is dead who wants to have a fling just for a little bit of excitement. Come on, that guy's got to leave. The guy's dead who gets mad and storms out of the house. Now, I'm saying guy, but you just put the gal in there. The guy or the gal's dead. See, when Paul talked about, I'm no longer dealing with that death on a cross. There's a death on a cross. He always talked about who he was, but now this is who I am. Saul became Paul. He didn't say, boy, I've just tried to quit killing those Christians, but there was one there and I beat the fire out of him. You don't read that. There was a burial of the old man and he was gone. See, every once in a while, I just got to go out and kill one. There was a death, there was a burial, and there was a new man. Peter was Simon. Simon, he was a wimp. I mean, he couldn't stand up for Jesus. He couldn't. But when he turned and you're the rock, Peter, the rock. And upon your understanding of who I am, I can build my church on that. So there's a difference. Look at every person in the New Testament. You got to know you can never earn God's favor. Jesus died so that you could have his favor and so that you could die to this junk. Peace now rules in your home. Peace rules in my home. We're not yelling and we're not screaming. I'm not saying we never have a disagreement. I'm not saying at times she's wrong. Our home has peace. Our home has peace. But it only happened after we died. Come on, your marriage is in trouble. Somebody's got to die. More likely both of you do. Because peace got to rule there. There's got to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Jesus came to give his life, and he did that so that we could have life. We have cheapened salvation to only a ticket to heaven. That's what we've done. On the cross, Jesus said, this isn't my will. This isn't my choice, but it's your will, God. You can walk in peace when you've died to your wants and allowed your wants to become his. I look back and I really do. At times I try to remember the man. I'll watch him on film and go, good grief, he was a jerk. I'm talking about myself. My wife, one of her favorite comments, she wouldn't date me. She didn't want anything to do with me. She said, you loved yourself too much. She said, to ever love me. There was a dying that had to take place. And as I look back, sometimes I think that had to be someone else. And fact of the matter, it was. It was. It was. People will try to hold your past over you. I don't know if you ever had that happen. But people will bring it up. Remember when you did that? You know what? Now that you bring it up, I think there was a glimpse, but that guy's dead. That's what you can say. You know what? That was before I knew Jesus, and he wiped all that clean. And I don't really want to talk about it, but that's true. It's a scar in my life, and I get that. Come on, we all got scars. But boy, God's helped smooth that over. God's given me an opportunity to love people through that because, praise God, he loved me through it. Well, how do you think? If Christianity is true, then there has to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Christianity is trying to counsel Christians. And I don't have a problem with that. Christianity counseling Christians. Come on, I see it on Facebook all the time. Christian people trying to give a word that will counsel someone else. They may not know who that is, but they're trying to give a word that will. I'm preaching today, and I'm trying to give a word that will counsel, will help, will encourage Christians. I get that. The problem that we have in our churches and in the Christian community is so bad because what's happening is we're trying to counsel the old man. And let me say, that'll never work. The old man needs to die. There needs to be a putting to death of the. We're trying to counsel something. You're not going to get counseled. Only the blood of Jesus can counsel that. Only the blood of Jesus. So the first thing I do in almost every counseling session I've ever had is introduce people to Jesus. Do you know Jesus? And if we can't come to that understanding, there's no reason to talk about anything. Because counseling has to counsel Christians. And we've got to get the word as what we counsel. That's where we got to live. I've seen it in my family. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in those around me. People wanting help, but they're not willing to die to an old nature. Help will not come until the old man's dead. That old man's got to die. You know, when you get saved and you allow Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you had a part in the killing process. You did. That old man, that old alcoholic, that old anger issue, maybe the person you were abused drugs. Well, what I'm here to tell you is that guy, through the blood of Jesus and you saying he's dead and you making sure he's dead, he will give you the power. His promises are yes and amen. What we do is we put that old man down and we live a new life. That's an option. Come on now. That's an option. But we got a lot of people who just get a ticket to heaven and say, I'm good. I'm good. I do whatever I want. I feel sorry for the young lady who was abused. I really do. That hurts me. I can't stand it. But know this. The blood of Jesus came. And we can die to that sin. We can die to someone else's sin against us. Really? Yeah. Because the blood of Jesus died for all sin. The ones that we commit and the ones that others commit and some that commit against us. We're getting real deep here, but I'll talk about this more later. I feel sorry. I feel sorry for the problem in your marriage. But know this, there just needs to be a death there of the old man and the new one come forth. The old lady and the old lady, the old. I'll just go on. I feel sorry for the dad that you were. I mean, that's horrible. I hate that. But you know, that old man's gone. That old man's gone. Or are you going to let that nature keep coming up and ruining the rest of your life? That old man's got to die. See, I feel sorry for the child that was raised in a home that was split. I feel sorry for, but know this, the blood of Jesus gave you a new life. And you don't have to live under the curse of sin. No, it has no hold on me. Come on, are you getting this today? It has no hold. I feel sorry for all the junk in your past, but you got to die to that. Old things are passed away, or are they? The Bible says they are. If anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are gone, and all things can become new. I'm a new man. Come on, how many say I'm a new man? I'm a new creature. We got to allow the old man to die. We got to allow these old attitudes, these old thought processes. We got to allow God to be God. And to do that, we got to be willing to bury the old way of thinking. And it's not about you anymore. It's about Him and learning what He wants. It can't even start the new life until you accept what Jesus did on the cross for you. And for those that are being baptized today, here's what you need to know. You have admitted that you are a sinner and that you are in need of Jesus for forgiveness and for reconciliation to God. See, we're in the business of that. Reconciliation, that's the Christian's job, is to point people to God and to point those who said they were with God back to God. Reconciliation. God wants you. Was I His? Yeah, He made you. He created you. And you were born into a world that was messed up and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you recognized that you weren't going to have a new life without Jesus. And so you said, I am a sinner and I have messed up. Come on, all you, so many of you that raised your hands have been there. I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I don't know what to do. You can't do anything except for realize what Jesus did that you couldn't. He created you, you messed it up, and you're in need of Him. You got to believe with all that you are of what He did on your behalf. Commit your life to Him. Well, what does that mean? That means committing my will to die to death and His will to be what happens in my life. Now, does that mean you know His whole will the day you get saved? No way. You got a whole lot to learn. Come on, I'm still in the learning business. Some of you have been Christians a lot longer than me, and you're still in the learning business. We're learning more and more every day, but I'm committed to learning. I'm committed to knowing more. I'm committed to God, show me this. And I just can't stand when I've stood on something that I thought I knew, and then I realized I didn't know what I was talking about. God, I'm sorry. I messed that one up. See, there's a death, burial, and resurrection that happens every day of your life. Submitting to His will and not your own. Well, I got saved when I was 8 years old and I got my ticket to heaven. I get that, but have you died to your old way of thinking? Have you buried that and you've been raised to new life? Will you bow your heads with me? You've been going, you know what? I don't know that I am a Christian because I'm acting, operating, thinking the exact same way that I did. I'm not going to call you out. And I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning. So I won't embarrass you. You won't have to walk down here. I know that a lot of churches do that, and there are times that we do, but today I'm not going to do that. Here's what I want to ask you. I just want to ask you today, would you like to get it right? Because you have to first acknowledge that you're a sinner. And you may have done that at 8 years old, but there's not been much change. Or you may have done that, and you did it right for a few years, but now you find yourself in a pickle because you haven't been living according to the Word. I need to make a change. Well, I'll just call that, this is a sophisticated word they use in Christianity, and it's called rededication. So we're going to rededicate today. Whatever it is, here's how you do it. Right now, where you are, just say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be reconciled to you. Lord, forgive me. That old man keeps rearing its ugly head. God, forgive me. Come on, come on. This isn't about me putting words in your mouth. This is you talking to the Lord. God, forgive me. Right where you are, you can do that. Forgive me where I failed you. God, I believe what you did for me when you died on the cross. I believe with all that I am that you died to cover the imperfect life that I've tried to live and I just keep messing up. God, I believe. And today, some of you will say, I commit my life for the first time to you. I commit my life to you. I want to be saved. Some of you today will say, I had committed my life, but I don't look like it hasn't looked committed. Right now, I recommit my life to you. I'm going to rededicate everything that I am to your service, to your will, and it's going to quit being about me. It's going to be about you today. Thank you today for saving me. See, I'm just kind of giving you an outline. You're praying the prayer. Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for right now giving me a peace. You know, when I talked about the butterflies, maybe some of you are dealing with that right now. This is a real deal. Golly, there's a peace that I feel. And that peace is real. The Holy Spirit's just moving. Now, with heads bowed and eyes still closed, like I said, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you walk an aisle. I'm not going to come to you after service. But I want to get in agreement with you. And so I'm asking you right now, just so that I can have a face I can pray with, if you prayed that prayer, wave your hand at me and just look up at me. Wave your hand at me and look up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just prayed that prayer. Thank you. I just prayed that prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Just want to come into agreement with you. Come on, just lock eyes with me. Anyone else, wave at me so if I'm missing you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, now everyone look up here at me. That's just serious business. People said, I can't be this anymore. I got to do it different. Now let me say, while we're going to the river, is because some people said, that's me. Some of them are being rededicated or had rededicated their life and they said, I want to be baptized. If you raised your hand and you've been baptized and maybe you want to do it again, you feel free to do that. Just come tell me. You can do it today. You don't have to. Your baptism the first time was a public acknowledgement. Maybe you've just waved at me and looked at me and you've never been baptized. You need to be baptized. Well, why? Why would I need to be baptized? Because it's important to understand that we're going to the creek today to tell everybody what we've just been saying we are. I'm a true Christian. I'm the real deal. It's important first step as a Christian. Water baptism is being immersed in water in response to receiving salvation. That's the technical definition. It's being immersed in water in response to receiving salvation. It's just a very important first step. Matthew 3, Jesus got baptized and set the example. He went up to John the Baptist and said, hey, I need you to baptize me. And he said, oh, I can't baptize you. You're Jesus. You need to baptize me. He goes, nope, we got to do this. Fulfill everything God's asked of me. I'm to set the example. You know, Jesus set the example. If we're supposed to look like Jesus, we need to be baptized. That's what we need to do. See, what true Christianity is recognizing that others see Jesus in us. I'm going to tell the world, you can look at me because I'm working on being a servant of God. I read a quote. And it's really amazing to me how this modernization of what I'll call comfort zone Christianity, we just have tended to take God's commandments way too lightly. But this quote says, most Westerners take baptism for granted, but for many in the world, the act requires immense courage. In countries like Nepal, it once meant imprisonment. For Soviet, for Chinese, for Eastern Bloc believers, it used to be like signing their own death warrant. Come on, they took it real serious. And I think it's really awesome that we got some people today that says, I take this serious. And we got a church full of people who are going to support them. See, water baptism in essence is like a funeral. It's an act of faith which we testify both to God and to the world that the person we were before is dying, is buried, and there's a new person being raised to new life. As you're down there at the creek today, that's a cool deal to think about. Colossians 2:12, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. With him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Being baptized, church, hear me today, young people that are being baptized, this is a command from God, not a suggestion. It's a command from God. And when you don't get baptized, you're saying, I don't really care what you say, God. Did you really die to your own will? Die to your own will. It takes a choice, and God asks and requires that of every believer. Christians who don't follow Jesus in water baptism have a much higher risk of backsliding than those who do. Statistically proven. If our walk with God didn't begin with the most basic act of obedience, it got off to a real faulty foundation to begin with. Come on, we're raised with Jesus as a totally new creation. And here's one word that I tell everybody being baptized to remember: identification. Baptism is your faith identification. And here's how it identifies you. It identifies you with a death on a cross, a resurrection on the third day, and a new life that begins with Christ. Not your will, but his will. Baptism portrays Jesus' death and resurrection very clearly, and it identifies us with him. The death of Christ is you going under the water. Now, here's the cool thing. While you're under the water, and we're not keeping you down there long, it'll be quick. But while you're under the water, here's the significance of that. While Jesus was buried, think about this. What'd he do? He went and took the keys to death, to hell, and the grave, and said, you don't have to live dead. That's what he did. When you're under the water, you need to know that that is an act of, now I'm cleaning up, the old man's gone, and I'm coming back, and death no longer has a hold on me. I'm a new Christian. See, that's what it is. I just think it's very, very important that we understand what's happening today. But I also want to include that baptism is more than just an outward sign of our faith and more than just a symbol. It is a holy moment that God said to his son when he was baptized, the heavens open, the dove, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. What I want you to know today is as you're watching them, God is pleased with their act of obedience. This is my child and I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased with the decision that you made. People being baptized today have chosen to take these steps among us. We're a family. We're with these people. They belong to us. We belong to them. That's the body of Christ. We encourage those choosing to follow God's will for their lives by giving them a hearty amen, a yes, a clap, a woo, of something. We've got to be encouraging them. This isn't a quiet time at the river. This is a time of excitement. And what I'm telling you is, it's going to be a great day. Are you ready?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.